Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. You are tuned in to Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayana Muhammad. Tonight, we're just going to run right into our topic. But first, I want to give a shout out to Joy S.J. Harris, the first African-American licensed female road racer who passed away the other day on the set of Deadpool shooting a stunt.
Yes, so
I want to give a shout out to her. We're not going to play intro music this week because we're talking about a topic that's kind of sort of off kilter, but very much needed in today's media. We're going to be talking about these African American athletes and how the media portrays them in a negative way. Tonight, we're also going to have a special co-host, Sean Graves. Sean, you on here?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey. Ayana, Sean.
Yes, ma'am.
African American athlete in the media. Y'all know right now, Kaepernick is like,
yes,
big. He's getting it. He's getting it hard out here in the media. Like, they killing him. Do y'all see that, okay, because somebody suggested cutting his hair. I don't think his hair has anything to do with the way he's being treated.
Okay, that was Michael Vick who said that, so he was extra wrong for saying that. But I don't think his hair has nothing to do with it. I do think it's part of it. I do think they look at him as being extra Afro-American with his hair like that, but it don't make no sense why he's not in the league. I mean, they pulled the quarterback out of retirement for the Miami Dolphins, basically, and instead of getting Colin because he's taking a knee. That's ridiculous.
Sean, I hear you laughing. I hear you laughing.
And they also gave that quarterback that they pulled out of retirement 1-year deal for $10 million.
Yes. Oh, wow.
So,
and I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm a Bears fan. That quarterback sucks. I can't wait till they put him in and he ruins their whole season. But, you know, anyway.
Well, he was out of the league for a reason, you know. So you got to look at that.
Yeah.
Like I agree with you.
That's,
he took a deal with Fox. He was retired. Come on. How do y'all pass up? And let's be honest.
Well, let's
Colin
be honest.
Kaepernick was not the best quarterback. He had a pretty bad year. I want to say last season wasn't a good year for him.
A few of them have had some pretty bad
years.
Yeah.
But he also took his team to the Super Bowl, so let's not pretend like that didn't. Didn't they go? Oh, they made it. I don't remember if it was the Super Bowl. Didn't they lose that one? I can't even recall. But.
Well, Sean's our football guru. Did they lose, Sean?
He took them to the Super Bowl quite a few times.
Yes.
Right.
And
yeah, but I think that Kaepernick is not really getting criticized for his on-field performance. I think he's getting criticized from his off-the-field. Because at the end of the day, the league is full of politics. And if you don't follow the political rules, then you're going to be, pushed away from the league. But you got to think, Kaepernick does a lot of stuff for the African American community, the kids, and all that plays a part. That plays a big part in why he's being crucified, is what I think.
Let me ask you this, though, because I'm a football fan, and we both know 70% of the league is African American.
Right.
70% of the players on the field are African American. Do you feel like all of the other players should take a stance with him, or they're wrong not to take a stance with him?
Yeah, I think everybody have their own opinion. Being an athlete myself, you're not going to get everybody who's on the same on your team doesn't think the way you think.
Right.
We all come from different backgrounds. We just have one thing in common, that's playing ball. So we have to meet in the middle. And majority of the players in the locker room do not see eye to eye together. So it's not like every after every game we all eating together. I mean, it's click.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's a bunch of clicks. So you know who to click up with. And at the end of the day, I think that the veteran players who already been down this road, the Ray Lewis's, you know, the Michael Vicks, who in a sense got crucified themselves for their off the field performances. And
right.
I think they should be taking a stand and you know, instead of you know, criticizing and putting Kaepernick down, they should be standing next to him, because those are who kids look up to, who buy those jerseys are the kids, you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, it's like, well, man, this is my idol, and then he not even representing me like I thought he should be, or I think he should be.
Right.
You know, so.
But then, like, Ray Lewis, I have to admit, I was a fan of Ray Lewis until more recently, because he has an issue with Colin Kaepernick, and he's like, oh, he should protest in silence.
Why
what
though?
That mean? What does that mean? I'm a protest.
You still have those with the good old boy mentality.
You know, you was really on trial for murder. Like, they just really start liking you after you got that Super Bowl and be more. Let's be real. Like,
you gotta
stop.
What it is you know, think about it. This has been going on with black folks since the beginning of the time. You gotta think same thing when they had slavery. You got the field, then you got the house, and then when somebody from the field go into the house, they try to make everybody think that it's good to be in the house, so let's follow what the house says. You feel what I'm saying? Opposed to not looking back and saying, man, I've been out there in the field with y'all. You know, let me see how I can get y'all out of that field into a whole other different, not just been bringing it in the house, but just into a whole other arena. But that's not how everybody thinks. That's just how, you know what I mean? It's like,
I guess that's a whole nother show on when we're going to all start thinking the same when it comes down to the race. But that's a whole nother topic. But
that's
saying,
you know, forget the fact that he was raised by Caucasian parents. Like, when he took a knee, all that bringing whatever, sitting at the table with the white people, all that flew clean out the window. Now he's all the way black. It's like he never was raised by white. He has no Caucasian values. He's all, it, like, the media is just crucifying him. Like, get out of here.
But
we don't
do.
Want you no more.
But that's the real issue, though, is why is it sports to me, and I'm a huge sports fan. I watch them all. Sports to me is the one thing that brings all the races together. If you will love your white quarterback, I know some black folks that will drink that Brady's. Oh my God, dirty water! Like, they love him. They love him. You know what I'm saying? But it's because to me the sports have always brought us together in the races, and yet when you have a situation like this, it's dividing us even more. And I just think that's so crazy. I mean, it's the same thing with women athletes. Look at the Williams sisters. And how the one commentator, and his name is not going to come to me right now, said that if Serena Williams was playing with men, she'd be ranked, like, real low.
Way
whatever.
Down.
So,
like,
why
nobody
are you
would
even
know.
Putting her?
Well, there's not even a comparison.
They ain't never said that about Sharapova. Nobody cares if she would be playing with men. It's like, or the fact that black women, when it becomes to being athletes, they don't deem them as feminine. So, like he said, Serena Williams is not pretty to him, but Bruce Jenner is. Like, who's
that?
Yeah,
see, I'm kind of, they praising him, a guy who went from, and I don't have any issue about, you know, however you feel, that's how you feel, but you can't go from being a world class athlete, and then all of a sudden now you're a world class
woman.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
like,
and they praise that.
Yes.
Now you're a woman.
It's crazy. Yeah, you became a woman, and then you have men saying that he looks more like a woman than Serena Williams.
Than Serena Williams.
Yeah.
How is that even possible? Like. Like,
that makes no sense. But then you look, and then they put this stuff in the media, and they called, they even called her, what, a monkey or baboon or something.
Ape,
in
they
this.
Called her ape, yes. Oh, my God. It's so, it's because when they see these athletes, women are supposed to be feminine and delicate and this and that, and it's like, seriously, she's an athlete. She plays tennis. Now y'all mad at her because she got a big butt and thick thighs, but you have a lot of women going out here to buy it.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Seriously.
Trying to be
hers,
trying
not...
to be us.
At the end of the day, though, it's all a black athlete, and you making these white folks rich because you're going out there winning these championships. Because think how many black African Americans do we have owning teams? You know what I'm saying?
In the NFL, I don't believe we have any.
We don't have any.
In the NBA, I believe there's not any full ownership, but it's percentages. It's percentages.
Right.
Like they kept talking about how Jay-Z owns the Brooklyn Nets. I think he has like maybe 5%. So
right, he's not a full owner.
Right. I don't think there's any. Now, Magic Johnson has been doing his thing. Got to give him credit for what he do, because he got something going on in basketball and baseball. But that's not what's talked about. The fact that you don't have no head coaches, you don't have that many head coaches that are African-American in the NFL, and how they realize that. So now they have like, it's kind of a rule, and I can't remember what the rule is called, but they got to have more than what they do when they're working on that. So it's set to where they have to interview X number of African-Americans for the role before they rule them out. Like, I'm going to give you a chance, but you probably really won't get the job.
And I'm going to tell you why. This is the crazy thing. Like, when I was doing my research for this, I found an article on the same thing, pretty much, from the Sports Digest. And it says when they look at the African-American athletes, whether it be male or female, they go in with the perception of, well, they're built, you know, they're going to work, their physique, they don't have to do too much. Like, excuse me if I have any Caucasians listening, but white people take all those enhancements, those muscles, you know what I'm saying? They drinking these powders, they popping these pills. But black people, they get out there and they run. They've been running all their lives. So they get out there and run. They're just physically muscular.
Yes.
And so they look at that and they say, okay, we're not going to worry about how smart they are, are, you know, their common sense, as long as they have these muscles and can do what we need them to do on the field, on the court, wherever, that's what we're looking for. So they going, you going into the NBA, the NFL, even the tennis, with the perception of the people that are paying you that you are dumb as hell.
They really don't.
We don't care. As long as you can get out here and dribble this ball or throw the ball, that's all we're worrying about. So when you have somebody that's talking like they have some sense, that's a scary thing, and we need to just shut you all the way down because you wasn't ready.
Not even talk about some sense, just standing up for something that you believe in. You know what I mean?
And
if it's not it's not the same belief that I have, then you're wrong. You know what I'm saying? That's what Colin is doing. Colin, and the crazy thing about it was, he wasn't just standing up for the African Americans. He was standing up for all people, because he was standing up for police brutality against everyone. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't blacks getting killed by police. If you really look at the television, you got Mexicans getting killed by police. You even have white folks getting killed by police. So he wasn't just standing up for, you know, I'm standing up for Black Lives Matter again. I'm standing up for police brutality. Like, stop doing these
people.
He
was for something that was right. Yeah, exactly. And that's what. To her point about how they're not that smart, and that further shows why African Americans are not quarterbacks in the NFL, because they always thought that you're supposed to be the leader and the smart guy on the team. So you can't be black and be a quarterback. That's why, you know, that's why I wasn't that number of them. So when you start getting the Michael Vicks in the leagues and you get the Collins, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, like, hold on, you know. And I know it's a lot more black quarterbacks, because my boy that was on Philadelphia Eagles, and his name is not coming to me right now. But they didn't think
that was
your
boy?
For the role.
That was McNabb.
Yes.
Donovan McNabb.
I don't know why I can come to you. Now, and it was another one, Houston Oilers. What was his name? He played for the Houston Oilers, and then they went to Tennessee
McNair.
Titans.
McNair.
There you go. Yeah. But they didn't have that many of them, honestly.
And if you look back then, those guys really they stood up for, because think about it, coming into the league then, you know, quarterbacks were white quarterbacks. You didn't have a lot of black quarterbacks then. So when these guys started coming in here and they started doing stuff, because they really wasn't doing it with their arm as everybody thinks a quarterback should do. They changed the game with their feet. But off field,
right,
they were doing stuff in the community to help, yes, going back and giving back to the community. But it wasn't being said anything back then, because, you know, as long as you come on here and you putting up wins and putting up championships, then
that's all we care about.
Off the field, that's on you. Yeah, that's on you. You know, but when it started hitting home, and the crazy part about it is, if we really want to really look at the situation, this Colin Kaepernick wouldn't even be an issue if we wouldn't have put this president that we have right now and brought everything to the front for him.
That's another
everything.
Show right there. I'm gonna be honest, but yes,
he
absolutely agree. Absolutely,
everything to the forefront. Everything.
But he made it okay. Like, to be honest, he made it okay for
to be racist.
Certain people to be racist. Like, let's be real.
They've always been racist. He just made it okay for you to voice it now. You know what? I don't care. You tell them you're racist now. Let them know you don't care about it.
Yeah, because that's freedom of speech. That's freedom of speech to say that. It's freedom of speech.
It was quiet. We can't say that because it's politically incorrect. We can't do that now. But when he gets in, it's like, oh, yeah, it's fine, you know, because I'm a no-nonsense. I say what I want to say, do what I want to do. So y'all have the right to do that now.
Man,
and that's when it started changing the game.
I'm going to be honest. This freedom of speech, this internet, I think he's personally an idiot. And I think he's embarrassing the entire country. But that's neither here nor there. I do feel like, though, athletes, the Venus and Serena Williams, because we all know when the Williams sisters walk away from tennis, it will not be tennis no more. Like, it's not going to be that popular. And I feel like, though, with the athletes, the LeBron James and the Dwayne Wade and all of them, that I really wish they could stand together more often.
It would be nice.
Because it's like they are the driving force behind
a lot of stuff.
We watch them. They making their money. And if they in the middle, if they was like the whole thing about the NFL and they're asking people to boycott the first game of the NFL the first Sunday. But ain't nobody going to do
it. It's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen.
You got to be a little realistic.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you got too many people that want to watch too many people. Even though it would be nice if everybody, you know, stood behind Colin and really protested. It would be nice because it's senseless. They're crucifying him.
It has to start with internal. Once, if you like Ayanna say, if these who are these kids and we look up to, and if they get behind Colin and the Serena Williams and whoever, then we'll get on board with them. As long as they just don't continue to do what they do, then we're going to just continue watching the game. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, let them deal with that. But that's how today is. Think about it. Back in the 60s, if somebody said, let's protest, then guess what?
Man,
everybody was on board with the protest.
Everybody protested.
I mean, prime example, you got Muhammad Ali said, I'm not going to war. I don't care. Y'all take me to jail, do what y'all want. I'm not going to war. The community got behind him and said, he's not going to war. We shut it down.
Mad at him? Yeah.
We shut it down. So we support
Curry,
you.
If Steph Curry said something, like, he's the poster child right now for the NBA. Steph Curry is like, he has the cute little daughter. The wife, like, imagine if Steph Curry was but imagine if he did, though. Like,
it
oh, my
you
God.
You know what? At the end of the day, he'll be in the same boat. Colin, he's going to
be, gonna
boycott
I think
it.
So, too.
Good point. Good
I think
point.
So,
they're
too.
Boycotting.
Good point.
I think
they're
so,
gonna
too.
Boycott
at the end of the day,
just,
That media,
at the end of the day,
it's
just serious.
Because
crucifying.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And the only way we can fight the media in the African American community is to take all. We got to take over Black Twitter. We got to take over Facebook. We got to get enough people on board to fight back when they're crucifying our African American athletes that they feel like all you're good for is running up and down the court or running up and down the field and throwing
the ball.
We don't want to hear nothing else that you have to say about nothing. You should be grateful that we're paying you this amount of money. You shouldn't have anything to say. You shouldn't have anything to say. It's like with the sports Illuminati. We're going to pay you this money. Keep your damn mouth shut. Don't say nothing. Don't cause no confusion. Don't get in the media negatively because we're going to run you into the ground. That type of stuff right there, it just goes to show. Like I said, I mean, he's the perfect person to go through this because you're right there in the middle. You're Black, but you've been raised with white people all your life, and that doesn't mean nothing in the media.
And then what's interesting is this, though, and this is what really makes me mad about the NFL. So I'm not going to pretend like I'm not a fan of football, and I also get the NFL package, but I'm a little hesitant about paying for it this year, so I haven't decided. Like, real low-key, I'm thinking I'm just going to bootleg all the games.
Oh, wow.
I'm still deciding. But it's kind of like a guy can knock his wife clear across the room.
Oh, yeah.
And still play all year. You know what I'm saying? Because
right.
they still teetering on dealing with that. Or you can get into
you
it
can
and
have...
we might suspend you, but we're not going to suspend you because, you know, you still got pending cases and stuff. It's like,
yeah,
y'all can't even
what?
Be morally correct from that perspective.
Ben Roethlisberger, who got charged with aggravated rape.
Not once.
Rape.
Twice.
And they suspended him for 5 games. That's it.
No, one time he wasn't even suspended at all. That
the second time
he
didn't
get
suspended.
He wasn't suspended because he was doing anything he wanted to do. He had an accident on a motorcycle with no helmet on during the off season. He accused of raping his girl in the bathroom, but nothing. He good though. He's still out there on the field.
That proves our point. That proves our point. We have a caller. I want to go ahead and take a caller because we can go on and on and on about this one for a couple of hours because it seems like all three of us agree that the media is totally screwing over our African-American athletes. Caller, last 4 of 3276.
What do you need?
Good evening, caller. Are you calling the listener?
Right,
are you
sorry?
You making a comment? Hello?
I'm
good
listening.
Evening, caller. You're just listening?
Hello.
Okay.
I'm
just
listening. Very interesting comment. Yes, yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I'll put that caller back in the queue. But, hey, so, look, and then another thing, let me ask you, too, about this. Because, again, in the Sports Digest, it says the commentators. Let's talk about these commentators. Have y'all ever noticed how they be trying to throw these on the low? Like, they're real loud when something's going on, and then when they have something negative to say, their voice goes real low, and they'll say it so they don't think everybody hears it.
Everybody's listening, like, you not on TV, and we can't hear you.
It's
like the whole comment about Venus Williams and Serena, and what do you say, Venus looks like an ape, or she sounds like an ape or a monkey or something. Like,
this is our commentator.
And then he was like, well, I didn't mean it that way. Well, what did you mean?
How else could
you
mean it?
Because she's not the only tennis player that grunts. They all grunt. All of them do it. So what's the, like, and they paying you to keep talking. Like, that's what kills me. Like,
They're blaming it on the lack of formal trainers for commentators when they're doing communication live. That's what they're blaming it on. I blame it on just plain old ignorance and racist.
Yeah.
But they're blaming it on
better than that.
The Sports Digest says that they feel like the sports commentators are ex-players that are really not diverse when it comes to communicating and communicating live. and they need to go through the proper training that will help them perform like in stressful atmospheres, live sports like hockey, you know, stuff like that. And
mm-hmm.
they're not blaming it on them just being racist. They don't know any better. They used to be, this is what they did when they were out on the field themselves. So
yeah, they give them the job because they know
they're giving them a pass.
Yeah, like it's okay for you to be stupid, but since you know the sport, we're going to go ahead and give you the job.
We're going to go ahead and give you a job and pay you.
Who could speak better to what's going on the field than somebody who played on the field, like, honestly? But no.
And you can tell the ones who've been trained, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can mm-hmm. tell the ones who just came straight off the field and then they go in there and talking. I mean, prime example. Look at Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley, probably ain't never had no communication background. He just come
true.
Right in and say, but you think about it though. He gets a lot of credit for saying what he wanted. He opened that door. I'm on here. I'm on television. I can say what I want to say. And you just got to take it. You feel what I'm saying? Then if you look on the flip side, look at a Michael Strahan who has a communication degree. That's why he went from NFL to
Good Morning America.
You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
To his own Michael and Kelly and Michael show. That's why you see him so much, because he has
yeah.
that communication background. You know what I'm saying? Opposed to you just saying, okay, well, Charles, you're going to stick to the NBA and that's all you're going to do, because you ain't smart enough to go nowhere else. But you can come in and you got to think about it, though. It's good for television, because television is all about
mm-hmm.
drama anyway. You feel what I'm saying?
It is.
But then, at the end of the day, when you got somebody like the Charles Barkley on there, and he is, quote, just, I'm going to say, halfway illiterate in a sense, you feel what I'm saying? Then that's what the world look at. And say,
halfway.
And he says, well,
yeah.
Hey, I'm going to be honest. Low-key, I think he'd be drunk. I think he'd be drunk sometimes.
You
got to
think, though.
I think he'd be lit.
We'll keep him up here, because this is what we want America to think, that this is how black folks talk. This is how black folks think, because that's what you are. You feel what I'm saying? So he's going to stay there, because he's that.
But I got some numbers.
All right.
I got some numbers for you. Here you go. So they say the media stories that are overall written, white athletes get 43% more stories than black athletes, right? But then they say also 66% of the crime stories from dealing with athletes stories involve black athletes, while only 22% involve white athletes. That's bananas. And then it says more than 70% of domestic violence stories, and these are just the stories that they're reporting, let's keep that in mind, involve black athletes, and only 17% involve white athletes. And finally, 53% of the stories involving black athletes had a negative tone, while only 27% of the stories about white athletes were negative. Those are statistics on what's going on in the media when it comes to athletes.
Let me elaborate on that for just a little bit. Let me give you a question, right? So everybody knows Tiger Woods, right?
Right.
Tiger Woods was winning these green jackets. Now think about it. How many
mm-hmm.
African Americans won green jackets? So he fell up in that category as, oh, you one of us kind of thing, because you playing a white man sport, and you
married
a
white woman,
but you're dominating and you are winning at this. So guess what? We love you, Tiger.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, though, Tiger
not so much no more.
You think Tiger, well, that was his first time ever getting into a domestic violence with his wife? No. Why it became to the forefront? Because Tiger, you're not
winning
anymore,
no more.
Tiger. You're not one of us anymore.
No,
so you back.
Yeah.
So now, yeah, you're not making us no money. So now I'm put you back where you're supposed to be at. So guess what? You hit her again, and she's a white woman. So guess what? You hit her. We finna crucify you, because that's we can wait for you. As long as you're winning,
but Tiger Woods,
as long as you get those green jackets,
completely off. He's completely.
Yes.
He didn't have a DUI.
And it wasn't even a DUI.
It wasn't even a DUI.
That's the crazy thing. Under the influence. He was driving under the influence, but the influence wasn't alcohol. It was some pain meds.
It was
some
painkillers,
right.
A whole bunch of them.
Right.
Right. But do you think
yeah. If he was still winning those green jackets, he was the number one golf player in the world, will we hear anything about his negative on off field?
Oh, no.
No,
I'm with you. That ain't the first time they got into a fight. Yeah,
so
that right there is a good point, yeah.
If Colin Kaepernick would have won a Super Bowl last year, and he did all this and won, taking a knee at the beginning of the game, and he still won a Super Bowl, will we even be having this conversation about Colin right now?
No, not at all. But it's the
same thing
with Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis, you was on trial for murder. The next season, you won a Super Bowl. Now everybody has forgotten. Yeah.
That you were on trial for murder.
Yeah.
It's over. Then you got the same team, the Baltimore Ravens. Then you got
Kobe.
You won a championship. You know.
Charged for rape. Won championship. Anybody talk about that no more?
It's over.
And it's not that you have to dwell on it. You don't have to dwell on it.
Yeah, nobody was
Shaq. Shaq
don't
put
it in the news.
Shaq kept it going.
Yeah. And it's not that you want them to dwell on it, but it's just amazing to me how soon they forget when
you're doing what
we figured
you'd be doing. That's it. That's all we want you to do is get us some more money.
I actually feel bad for Tiger Woods. Like, I literally feel bad for Tiger Woods.
I don't.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Only a little bit. You think about it, like, you really got caught up with some chick at the Waffle House, and that didn't ruin your whole career.
Yeah.
The Waffle House chick. Your whole career is gone. You won't ever see Tiger Woods golf again.
Let me tell you how this is working with Colin right now, man. You know, I played high school and also played college level basketball, and you know, to be if you on a basketball team and you team and you walk on this college campus and you pretty much have you the star on that basketball team, you have free reign to do whatever you want to do without nobody saying anything. But if you just a player on the basketball team and all you're doing is just holding the bench up. You can't do it. If you do the same thing that star athlete is doing, you're going to get kicked off the team because you're negative. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You're negative. But the star athlete, and that's the mentality that they have going into the league, too. You know what? Well, I'm the star, so I can come in and do what I want to do. I can go and spend
$80,000
at it. You feel what I'm saying? I can go spend $85,000, $90,000 in a strip club because that's what I want to do. You know what I'm saying? I can go in here because who's going to say something to me? Because until you're not producing and you're not giving me what I'm paying you to do, then that's when
I can't do nothing. Don't open your mouth.
Because the Johnny Manziel, the story they were reporting on him was he was, for those who don't know, he was the big white hype quarterback in college. He came to the NFL, and if you wonder why you don't know his name, that's because he's not really there anymore. And
he's not.
But what's interesting is when he was having all of his trouble, what the media was reporting was how his father was like, we need to get him some help, and we need to get him
because
he has a drinking problem. And it's like, what? Now all of a sudden y'all want to get him some help. But if it was a black athlete, he's not taking advantage of what he's been given, and he has an opportunity that he's messing up. But that's not how you report it on Manziel.
To Manziel's defense, though, Manziel is one of the ones who came to Colin's defense and saying, man, y'all are dead wrong. Colin should be playing his quarterback on starting quarterback. So I can, you know, give Johnny his props and say that he did come to Colin's defense.
He did. But I still feel like the fact that this man is not in the NFL right now because he took a knee during the national anthem. And the funny thing is, and the best thing I ever read about the whole situation was, everybody is complaining about by Colin Kaepernick taking a knee during the anthem. When all them people at home watching it, all of them sitting down. Don't nobody stand up in their living room when it's playing. They all sitting down. So what's the difference? Why y'all mad?
The crazy thing about it, he wasn't the only one. He wasn't the only one who done that, man. But he's the only one getting crucified.
Yeah. But the crazy thing
actually,
is,
a couple of people did it this season already. A couple of people have done it already this season.
They
yeah.
have. But I'm gonna tell you, and me, I've pledged allegiance all my life. I remember in kindergarten standing up and pledging allegiance. Until he did that, nobody mm-hmm. ever told me the second part of this song. I never heard.
Yeah.
I'm 45 years old. I
yeah.
never heard the second part of this song until this mm. man took a knee and stood against it and opened up Light of Day. They never let it come out. It took for him to do that to open up a lot of other eyes.
Well,
and I'm sure I'm not the only person that never heard the second part of that song and really what that song meant. So he did a lot. And they
didn't
talk about that.
But of course,
I'll be honest.
Because you weren't supposed to hear that. If we were meant to hear that, then they would have taught us that in school. You feel what I'm saying? But everybody would have knew that. But we wasn't supposed to hear that. We were supposed to just stand up there and take what they give us. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
But when he did that, then everybody's like, wow, there's a second part?
There's a second part.
I heard the second part.
I bet most people listen to that song in its entirety right at the day of and the day after he took a knee than they have ever in their whole entire life. I'm just wondering how many hits on social media, like with people doing a Google search to find the complete version of this song. Because I never would have thought it was something else.
I don't stand no more. I don't stand no more for it. When I'm
don't either. I'm not even putting my hand across
and
my chest.
I've gotten some looks like, I know she ain't over there sitting down. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to sit on down.
Uh-huh. And I don't feel bad about it. I don't think it's anything against the veterans. I don't think it's anything against anybody who's fought for the flag. And I don't think that's what Colin means at all. If he's actually said that, it's not against the veterans of this country. It's not against the people of this country that have fought for that flag. It is simply about equal rights in this country for people that are being mistreated only because of the color of their skin.
Period.
And still to this day. You know what I'm saying? And it's for those that are poverty-stricken, that are still being mistreated. He donates millions of dollars. This dude ain't even really getting paid no more. And he's donating money, still buying, making sure people have backpacks and things like that. And it's just, it's ridiculous.
And
again,
it's being overlooked.
Yeah, and they're going to keep overlooking it because even though he's a black athlete, he could be, and I pray that somebody lets him in the league on a team because he's going to kill. He's going to be so
on purpose
when they finally let him in. It's going to be, they're going to be like, where has he been? Why didn't we sign him sooner? So, I think he's still got a chance to make it in because I think the Baltimore Ravens are going to realize that they need a backup quarterback sooner than they thought.
No. Well, I'm already making a GoFundMe fund for him to come to the New Orleans Saints. So if y'all want to contribute to that, just let me know. I'll send y'all the link.
I'm on board.
Let's get him to the Saints. I'm gonna help you promote that. We're gonna take our black Twitter and social media. Yeah, we're gonna come on to the Saints.
Y'all,
most definitely.
Come on to
one
New Orleans.
Running back during the off season. No. I'm not coming.
Whatever.
I'm a Bears fan.
It'll be perfect.
Bears fan, true and true. No, thank you. Thanks, but no thanks. I appreciate the offer. I'm going to pass on that.
Let me tell y'all, the funny thing is the media has no respect. They don't care how old these people are. They don't care how. They don't care.
Look at OJ. We missed out. OJ.
They've been wanting him forever anyway. They've been pissed off at OJ forever and was waiting on a chance to get him behind bars and crucify his name. They're even now that he's getting ready to get out, they're even going toward his kids. They want to know how his kids have money to buy houses and buy real estate. Like I give him 10 years. Let me knock on wood. He better stay so squeaky clean. He better not even jaywalk across the street.
It's interesting though because I think OJ is one of them. I think Tiger Woods is another example.
Look at him.
Black athletes.
Look at the track record.
Who didn't claim, but the truth about it is, OJ, his thing was he wasn't black. He was just OJ, right?
You got to
think,
man.
Tiger Woods was another one, like, well, I don't consider myself African American and this and that. But it's like when something happens to you, they remind you real quick how African American
you
are.
You
want to
know the real truth behind OJ? The real truth behind OJ, OJ was one of the first black athletes to marry a white woman. That was it. As long as you were one of us. But we still like you because you weren't supposed to be married to one of our.
Yeah.
Same thing with Tiger Woods.
Jay-Z said it best. Yeah. What's the Jay-Z song that just came out? He's like, "What? I'm OJ." He's like, "Okay, you still black though." So the moment you're an athlete and you become proud of your blackness, like Colin, they're gonna get you. But as long as you stay on top and denounce your blackness, or you stay on top like Barkley and be ignorant to your blackness, you cool. But you fall off, it's only a matter of time. Barkley's another one. He's been arrested for a DUI before. He's had domestic violence issues, but they don't talk about it because he's okay with that poster child for black.
He's okay with the child.
It was
just
say,
how black think.
Yeah.
That's how he looked.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I remember Alabama had a DUI. Who does a DUI in Alabama? That's a suicide mission for a black man.
Yes.
But Mississippi, Alabama, cut it out. You better drive slow and be on your P's and Q's when you ride through there. Don't have nothing on. You're going to be smoking a cigarette. But
man,
no, I was talking about the little girl that won the Olympics for the gymnastics.
Oh, Gabrielle Douglas.
Oh, my God. They drug that poor baby. That old Gabby, they drug her. They talked about her hair being nappy. They talk about how she came from poverty, that she was adopted. Not once until somebody else put it out there that she was adopted by her grandparents.
They make it seem like
she was thrown out on the streets and somebody felt sorry for her and picked her up. That baby was raised by her grandparents.
Yes.
But you notice, though,
all that came out after the Olympics.
After you win.
But it goes to the negative stories that they promoted, because all of the black women I talked to, they weren't talking about her hair like that. So I don't know where they took that one story and ran with it and kept it in the media. And then how you say she was adopted, kept that in the media. Oh, she's become this great athlete. She was adopted. They wouldn't even say she was adopted. What they said was she was abandoned by her mother.
Yeah.
They kept saying she was abandoned by her mother.
Like she was left on a doorstep.
Like
or
she was
somebody's
some homeless
doorstep.
Kid that just started flipping down the street, and then somebody was like, oh, let me put her in the Olympics or something. Like, no, it's like, it's ridiculous how they do it. She's another prime example of they told the negative side of the story first. You know what I'm saying? And it's like it was so much more positive stuff going on with that little girl that wasn't even necessary to discuss.
They waited until she got close.
She was raised with both her grandmother and her grandfather, who've been together for eons. And her sister. Yeah, so it was a positive piece of that story that could have
been. Look.
They didn't tell until somebody had to come back and say, okay, well, yeah, she was.
Yeah.
However, this is who she was adopted by. You know, and they waited until right towards the end. She went through the whole turn flips through the whole Olympics. But when it came down
she might really win this thing.
Oh, well, let's try to throw this negativity at her and knock her off her square.
I mean, that's just how it goes. I mean, think about it. When Tonya Harding, when she was in the Olympics, when she figure skating, she was that was a poster child for them. Until and then she finna lose.
Beat somebody in the knees with a bat.
Guess what though? That was short lived. She slipped on the rug.
It's like, man, that's so sad. In other news, OJ.
OJ. They show. If I saw that white Bronco one more time.
Oh my God! Yes, that's. And then the thing is, it's so crazy how that story was so long ago. They redid a documentary and it won. Didn't it just win like an Emmy or an Oscar?
They want to keep it fresh.
You got to keep it fresh. We can't let y'all forget this. Can't forget it.
redid the whole thing. I wouldn't even watch it. I didn't even watch it. I'm like, why? They was going to tell me something I didn't know. And
but this
like,
is my
thing. I didn't really care.
Like, how do you televise? Name one person that had their parole hearing televised.
O.J.
O.J. had his parole hearing televised.
Televised. Yeah.
Only because
it's
he was going to go back to jail, man. I'm putting it on the record right now
on the show. I'm putting it on the record. I got 20 bills. OJ get a reality show.
Oh, he gonna get
he
one.
He don't need that.
He don't
need
one, but he gonna he'll get one.
They're gonna
all
get right. one, right? Like they gonna because they're gonna look at it as, ooh, how can we keep OJ in the media? How can we keep OJ on the news? Like, I mean, why wouldn't they? It's OJ.
Nah. I think they waiting for OJ to get out to go back in. They waiting for him. He can't because the crazy thing about it, he don't have no room to make no mistakes. The only if he make one mistake, it's gonna be escalated. It's gonna take an anthill to.
We're gonna find out about it. We'll find out before OJ find out.
The media is gonna crucify
right.
him.
They're gonna be like OJ pulled over by the police. We gonna see the video. He gonna be like, oh, I'm being pulled over. Like, yeah, you didn't know. So what do we do about it though? How do we deal with it? How do we get this Colin Kaepernick? How do we get more people understanding that he's not wrong for taking a knee? And how do we get our athletes to understand that if we can't get them to help us protest, then we don't have no reason to be protesting nothing?
I think it starts with each individual. You know what I'm saying? We really have, with today's technology, you have an opportunity to really voice your opinion, and not only just voice your opinion, but reach thousands and millions of people by the social media, the Facebooks, you feel what I'm saying? I think that's where it starts at. I think if everybody starts with their own circle, and then that circle starts with their circle, and everybody branches out, I think that's how you get the message out. You know what I'm saying? But if everybody just laugh and joke about it and continue to make these little memes about it, then you're going to keep it going. You feel what I'm saying? I think that's the best way to do it. Just start with yourself. And then if that's something that you believe in, then you voice it and you let them know that, you know, I believe. I'm riding with you, Cap. I'm riding with you, Serena. You feel what I'm saying? And, I mean, we did that before when Bill O'Reilly called the Rutgers girls after they won that championship.
Oh, my God.
Home.
He called them some nappy head.
Yeah. The whole black community got behind those girls. And the media didn't have no
fired,
choice.
Didn't
but
he?
To, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm talking about. But you got to think about it. The black community got behind those girls and say, man, you're not going to call our women no nappy head hoes. And guess what? To the point where they fired him off a national televised news station. You got to go find something else to do because you can't be here, bro.
We can't hang. No, we can't.
That's
hang.
True.
And it's just I think you're right. It's like we all have to come together and take a stance. I guess my issue is what I feel.
How
like
do we
is,
go about doing
yeah,
that?
How do we go about getting
these people to come together and take a stance? Because
that's what
the
I'm saying.
Mentality.
I can take a stance in my living room and be like, I'm not gonna order the NFL package, right? I can take that stance. I think you've already done it. But I think you already took the first step. No, like you know.
Yeah. I mean, I think y'all already taken that first step by just even having this conversation and reaching out to people. You feel what I'm saying? Now everybody's you're putting it on people's brain and saying, okay, well, no, that does make sense. You feel what I'm saying? So I think y'all have taken the first step already. You just got to continue to do it now and then just do some follow up and go on to your social medias and say, hey, this is what the topic was about. Tell me what your opinion is. And you started bringing it to the forefront.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
instead
I
of just having
other,
a,
like
a mockery of it.
James and them to be like, yo, it's not. Like, I need somebody who has a little bit more power and financial pull to speak out. Who they not. Like, if
think
LeBron
about
James
it. Believe,
say something, they're not going to kick
it. Believe
like
it or not, though. Believe it or not, man, the more people get on board with this, you tie those athletes' hands. They have to step up and have to speak out. And the crazy part about it is, I think I've heard LeBron say something vaguely about it. But you got to think though, it's politics, and you got to win that arena.
Key thing. It's
you got to walk a thin line. You got to walk a thin line when you're in that arena. You got to walk a thin line.
Yeah.
And I think that's what
a lot of athletes
are afraid of.
I know they have families that they have to take care of, and I get all of that. I get all of that. But, you know, I just feel like that they have a wider platform to reach out, and that's why I really respect Kyle for what he's doing because of his platform that he had. People were not really thinking about it until he took that knee.
He opened up a lot of eyes.
He opened up a lot of eyes. Yes. They may be closing doors to him in the NFL, but he opened up eyes. And I feel like all of those teams that did not take a chance on him, they ain't going to win nothing this year. The Miami Dolphins is going to suck. The Baltimore Ravens is going to suck. We already know how the 49ers is going to do. So
at the end of the day, though, you got to look at Cap. Like, he's not really worried about playing in it because his purpose is greater than NFL. You know, his thing is, like you say, he opened a lot of eyes. So he pretty much did his – him taking those knees wasn't in vain because he made it come to the forefront of saying this is what it was, you know. So at the end of the day, he's not really worried about the NFL. He's more concerned about his people and his police brutality. And you know what I'm saying? So – I think, like I say, just start
I
with us done. And start
now
promoting
I did just get a text message. I just got a text message from someone, and they were saying he is a man of Kappa Alpha Psi, so he's in a black fraternity. And they've been
so where are they?
About it.
Where are they? Where are they? Because they usually stick together.
They've been speaking out about it. Yeah, and they have been. And it's a whole letter that they have written to the NFL on behalf of him, and they said other Greek organizations and more black Greek organizations are doing the same. So it's some people out there doing some things,
come out,
starting with them.
Colin Kaepernick had a – somebody put out a petition about the Cap thing, and he had over 1 million people sign that petition. So it's a lot of people are backing him up, you know what I'm saying? But, like, at the end of the day, it's – they're not in the media. They're not in front of that camera. So
We need to put it in the media. We need to get on Black Twitter. We need to flood Facebook. We need to. I don't have a Snapchat, but we need to. You know, as the Black community that's supporting him and really, take a stand for. Because now you opened my eyes. That was my first time even thinking about that whole situation. But now that I thought, I'm disgusted at the fact that for all these years, I've been not taking a damn knee. I've been saying this shit right along with everybody else. So for the last 45 years, up until last year, when he took a knee,
started it.
I never thought about that whole situation, and now I'm mad at myself because I've been saying it and putting my hand across my heart and saying this racist
and really acting like
you can't be. You that's where you was trained. That's how they trained us that way. They trained us that way, and that's what it is. This is about. Think about it. If you look at majority of the books that we teachers use were used to use. It was brainwashing. It was a form of brainwashing because they didn't tell you the whole story. They told you what they wanted you to know.
They wanted you to believe in.
You feel what I'm saying?
In history, as we all know, when it comes to Black history, they're gonna tell you about Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King.
That's it.
That's it.
She didn't want to get on the back of the bus, Rosa.
She didn't want to give her seat up. And he had them all march like nothing else took place. Because as we all know, she was not, y'all ain't going to make me believe that Rosa Parks was the only black woman to never
give her seat.
I am not, you can't convince me of that. I know I had a great auntie somewhere that was like, no, I'm tired, my feet hurt,
I feel
tired. I'm not going
to
do it. I'm not about to get up. You're going to have to drag me.
You
got to
go back there.
I'm not about to get up. Right. Nope. Go on, Mr. Bus Driver, so we can get on home. I know I had like some great auntie that did that. I know. Yeah. But it always takes the one.
Beat me.
But But yeah, so I am still on the fence whether or not I'm going to order the NFL package this year. I will admit it. But I might see if I can figure out a way to get DirecTV to, you know, give me that for free as a
on the fly
existing customer. Yeah.
But no, I do want to I mean, because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. At some point you gotta stop. Like the racism right now is at an all time high.
Time high.
I mean, you want to pay our athletes all this money, but then you want to dog them out in the media, regardless of what they've done. I mean, they're still human. Everybody makes mistakes. But in Cap's defense, he wasn't making a mistake. He was taking a stand. So this whole thing is just baffling. But I want to read one more little clip from my article, which is crazy. Let me find it. Okay, it says there are six recurring sporto types referring to sports figures' profiles that may appear harmless on an individual basis, but nonetheless contribute to a message of marginalizing of the black athlete that show up in sports. Most black athletes are portrayed as either the model citizen, the diva, the menace to society, or the buck, the intellectual suspect, or the comic relief character.
I mean, I can literally go through all of the athletes and name who they referring to what. We know the comic relief
the
character.
The model citizen, the diva,
the model,
the menace to society, the buck, the intellectual suspect, or the comic relief character. These are the categories that the media puts our black athletes in.
So Chris Paul is the model citizen. Oh, no, Steph Curry is the model citizen right now. That's who that is. The clown is Charles Barkley.
Who's the diva?
The diva would be one of the Williams sisters. What was the other
Who's
one?
The menace to society?
Oh, the menace to society. Well, right now,
Ron Artest.
He was a menace to everybody. Yeah. He was a menace to everybody. But
Dennis Rodman.
Other than that, it would be the Colin Kaepernicks or the Michael Vicks. You know, folks that might have done something wrong in the eyes of everybody else. You know,
well, who's the
intellectual
suspect?
Intellectual suspect meaning he's intelligent, but we suspecting on him.
Right.
And don't want him to be.
We don't put nothing past him.
The intellectual suspect.
Shaquille O'Neal.
I love Shaq, though.
Yeah, I can't deny, because Shaq is really more intelligent than people know. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's the new sheriff out in Clayton County.
Yeah,
I love Shaq.
Or Henry County, one of them. Ayana, this was a lovely topic. I want to thank you both. A special shout out to Sean for coming on and co-hosting with us tonight. We're running out of time, but I do want to talk about next week's topic because somebody texted to me and they really want to talk about how women have turned the tables and that now they have a men mentality when it comes to relationships. I want to thank everybody for listening. Even the people who are listening online and those that are listening in on the phone but have texted me and said, I'm just listening. I don't want to talk. I want to appreciate you. I mean, thank you all for tuning in tonight. I'm going to close out with a word from our sponsor. Everybody have a great night. We'll talk to you next week. Good night.
Later.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are... What is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard Remote Monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.